Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through 25. Now when evening came, he, Jesus, was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. That day was long and tiring. Multitudes of people came to Jesus looking for a miracle. Jesus, heal my disease. Jesus, save my young child. So many people came to Jesus that day that according to Mark chapter 6, neither Jesus nor his disciples had any opportunity to rest or even to eat. But later the same day, Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000 using such meager provisions. Add women and children, the number was more like 20,000, 30,000. Imagine feeding the entire population of Stevens Point, Wisconsin, with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. That's what Jesus did. I suppose he can take care of us too. By the end of that day, the disciples were very weary and no doubt delighted when Jesus finally told them, get into the boat, cross the lake. Imagine that scene, the disciples climbing wearily into the boat, pushing away from the shore, the calm blue water, the setting sun, the gentle breeze, the inevitable small talk. That was a picture of peace and tranquility. That was a picture of the disciples with their sandals off and their feet up. And that's when the storm struck. And suddenly everything changed. The sky became black and ominous. The calm lake became a white-capped cauldron in which that boat pitched and yawed like a child's toy. The disciples must have manned the oars and rowed and rowed and rowed and got absolutely nowhere. And later, when they saw what appeared to be a ghost walking toward them on the water, they cried out in terror. And surely they wondered, where is Jesus? Why isn't he here? Why isn't he helping? Why did he send us out into a storm that he surely knew was coming? How could things go so wrong so rapidly? But they do, don't they? And perhaps we have asked similar kinds of questions ourselves. And that's because life is filled with unexpected storms. And some of them have nothing to do with the weather. And in those storms, we find ourselves tossed about like in the hymn, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt. If you find yourself in the middle of a storm today, be encouraged by this text. First of all, remember that Jesus is fully aware of your storm. He knows the size of the waves. He knows the force of the wind. He knows exactly how far away you are from the shore and if you're struggling to stay afloat. We may not always believe that, especially when we're going through those storms. When things are bad, in fact, we may think, just as the disciples did, where's Jesus and why isn't he helping? But notice something about this episode. Notice that though the disciples were miles away in the center of the lake in the middle of a storm, and notice that though Jesus was alone on a mountainside praying, and notice that even though it was dark and storming and thundering and lightning, Jesus knew exactly where his disciples were and exactly what they were experiencing. Why should that surprise us when we always confess him to be the all-knowing Son of God? At one time or another, perhaps we've all lamented, I wish I had somebody to talk to amid this problem. I wish I had someone who understood me. I wish I had someone who really got me in the situation. Friends, with God's word as my witness today, I can assure you that there is absolutely no one who knows you like the Lord Jesus Christ knows you. He knows everything about you, including the storm you may be facing today. Second, remember that Jesus is with you in your storm. When I was about 2 years old, my dad saved me from drowning. At the time, we were living in Winter Haven, Florida, off Lake Howard, and one Sunday afternoon, as soon as we got home from church, a neighbor came over to chat with my parents, and I saw that as my opportunity to make a break for it. There was a beautiful lake there, so at 2 years old, I just ran down the dock and jumped into the water without knowing how to swim. Something happened shortly thereafter that I'll never forget. And that was the sound of my dad jumping in after me. My dad, who was still wearing his Sunday suit and tie and shirt and trousers and socks and shoes and watch and wallet, and boy, did I get in trouble for that one. But that was the kind of father I had. The father who gave no thought to himself but dove in after me. And in a far, far greater way, that is the kind of Savior that we have. The Savior who jumped in after us in order to save us by sacrificing himself for our sins. The Savior who gave no thought to his own glory or that which was rightfully his. But instead, as is said in the letter to the Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy set before him was the joy of saving you, and the joy of saving me, and saving all of us. When Jesus saw his disciples struggling in that storm, what did he do? What did he say? Did he say, hey, row harder, or bail faster? Or I'd like to help you, but see, I've had a long day. No. He went right into the storm to be with them walking on the water. He wanted them to see him as we should see him, as the God who is with us wherever we are in every storm. And finally, remember, Jesus will deliver you from that storm. He will. But in his time, and in his way. Listen to Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Fourth watch of the night? By Jewish reckoning, the fourth watch of the night was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. But wait a minute. When had the disciples set sail for the opposite side of the lake? That had been before evening. How do we know that? Because we're told in the text that when it was evening, Jesus was apart by himself praying, and the disciples were already in the middle of the lake in the middle of the storm. It's very possible that they rowed and they rowed and they rowed and they fought the storm for several hours before Jesus came to them. Well, why would Jesus do that? Isn't that the question you're asking? Here's the answer. Even though sometimes we may not like to hear it. At times, you and I need a storm. You and I need a storm to struggle with our own limitations and our own weaknesses so that we fully and finally understand how important it is to have Jesus with us in the boat. On their own, the disciples got nowhere. But as soon as Jesus entered the boat, the storm stopped, and they were immediately at their destination. Can there be a clearer lesson than that one? At the center of every hurricane, something called an eye. It's a strange phenomenon because the eye of a hurricane is a place that's completely calm, and there's sunshine. Even though the storm rages all around, at the center of every one of your storms in life, there is another kind of an eye. It is not EYE, it is I, It is a capital I. It is a personal pronoun. It's the I that Jesus spoke of when he said, "Be of good courage." It is I. It's me. Don't be afraid. Amen. Our closing hymn is 388, and we will sing stanzas 1 and 3, and afterwards there will be a brief announcement.